blood of the Lamb, I'm going to get to go to the same place that Brother Miller's talking about. And I'm going to see my Jesus too. And he's getting trained pretty good. Sister Shirley probably thinks that you can't train that man, but did you see him move this mic down for me? Thank you, Brother Miller. It's good to be here tonight. Appreciate the song selections that Brother Ernie picked to sing for us and to lead us in, and appreciate the good, humble prayer by Brother Strode. Once again, thank you for all that you've done for our family. And yes, we continually to have a desire for your prayers. For Miranda, bless her heart, she's come a long way. If you'd seen her the way she was at one point, where she is now, she's come a long way. She don't think she has. She don't really realize what she's accomplished through y'all's prayers, what God has done for her. She gets discouraged because she can't do the things the way she wants to do and exactly the way she wants to do it. But that's coming. You know, I was talking to Brother Joe this morning. He was asking me about her. And you know, when we first start to do something, it seems very difficult and very complicated for us to do it. Rather, it's I made an example of the military. You know, when you first go to boot camp, things are pretty difficult for you. And there's things it's hard to do, but after you do them over and over and over, and that's what goes on in boot camp. It's a lot of repetitious, you know, and you get to the point to where it comes natural to you. You don't even have to think about it. You just do it. And you know what? She will get to that point that these things that she's struggling with right now, through time and through God's strength and through the prayers that's gone up for her, these things that's difficult for her to do right now, but I believe will become natural for her. She won't even think about it. She'll just do it. And I see that working in her right now, the things that she's able to do. So once again, Gail and I both want to thank you for your love and your continued prayers and the support and everything that y'all have done for us. I want to read tonight from the 12th chapter of Luke, beginning at the 13th verse. It says, one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself is not rich toward God. And as I thought about this, as I was reading and meditating and studying on this, and the thought that I have was preparation, being prepared. And I know in our reading list here, it talked about coveting. You know, the guy, this man wanted his half of his brother's inheritance. But, you know, covet ain't necessarily bad. It depends on what you covet, because, you know, I covet your prayers tonight, and that's not a bad thing. I have a great desire for your prayers tonight. So covet is not a bad thing. And I remember when I first started coming to church here, and people would stand and give her testimonies of salvation. And I didn't really understand really what was going on with them. I was confused about my state. And then when a person would stand and give a testimony of what God had done for them, I had a desire for that. I coveted that because I wanted to have what you people had. I wanted that salvation that you talked about. I had a great desire for that, and that is covet. And so covet ain't bad. It's like money. You know, covet's not bad, and you know, love's not bad. Love is one of the greatest gifts that God has given us. But it's what we do with that love, and it's what we love that is wrong sometimes. You know, people misquote that money's the root of all evil. Well, money is not the root of all evil. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. So the sin is not in love, it's what we do with it. It's what we covet after. It, you know, if it's the things of God, there's nothing wrong with it. But if it's the things of the world, it's a whole different ball game. And you know, over in, let's see here, the Matthew 6 chapter, 19th verse. It says, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. It says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your heart is, there will be your heart be also. So it's the desires that we have. And then we read about this man, about this parable stuff that Jesus talked about this rich man and how that he, I guess he fared sumptuously too. That he went out and he planted his fields and he prospered greatly. That his fields, they had such fruit and so much grain and everything, he didn't have a place to put it all. And he thought, well, I'm going to make preparation for all this extra that I have. I just tear down these barns and these storehouses that I have that's not big enough, and I'll go and I'll turn around and build bigger ones and better ones that I might be able to store these fruits and the seeds and his harvest that he had. That he could go on and that he could... the drink and be merry and just go on their lives and enjoy their lives as they are. That he felt like that he was just going to live forever. But he didn't have his heart in the right place. There's so many people in the world that's in that same shape today. They're making all types of, you know, every day we make preparations to do something. I don't care what it is. When we get up in the morning, we prepare to get ready to go to work. Or our spouses may prepare to fix a meal for us at night. These kids get up and prepare to go to school in the mornings. They go prepared to try to learn what these teachers are going to teach them. But before these teachers can teach them, they got to prepare their lessons. You know, there's aspects of our life every day that we have to make preparation, that we have to prepare ourselves for the day that's coming. But the most important thing is don't be like this man that Jesus called a fool. You know, I think it's the 14th chapter of Psalms, the 14th Psalm, first verse. It says, the fool in his heart says there is no God. Spiritually, he said, the fool in his heart says there is no God. Brother Miller was preaching this morning, and he was talking about believing, the intellectual part of it, that how he believed when he was younger, that he believed there was a God, that he believed in Jesus, and he believed in the things that happened at the cross. But it was an intellectual belief. It was a belief with the mind and not the belief with the heart. So what I want to say to you tonight, if you're here and you've never been saved by the grace of God, you may be in the same shape that Brother Miller was in and the rest of us was in. At one time, we believed with our minds, but we did not believe with our hearts. And if you are not saved and you know that you're lost and know that you're separated from God, even though you might not have told your parents or your spouses or whoever, and you know that you're lost and separated from God, you're in that category of that fool, because you will not believe with your heart. You believe, you get to salvation and you receive salvation and you get saved by believing with the heart. And if you have rejected the word of God and don't believe with your heart, you're a fool. That's what I get out of the scriptures. If the fool said there is no God and he believed that in his heart, if you're a non-believer and if you've never been saved by the grace of God, you are a non-believer, are you not? Because you have not believed with your heart. Making preparations. I thought about this cemetery over here. How often that many of us, not all of us, but many of us make preparation. That you go out and you buy a plot. You make a reservation over here in the cemetery or somewhere else. You're making preparation because you know that you're going to die at some time or another. And we know that because we can look it over here and we can see the headstones. And we can look at our mothers and fathers that have passed on, or our grandfathers and grandmothers, our siblings, that we know, and we know that death is going to come at some time or another. Whether it's in the day of our youth or in our old age. But you come over here and you make preparations. Some people go ahead and they buy plots and even have their headstones put up. They have their names and maybe their children's names and their date of birth on it, but the only thing that's not on there is their date of death. But they made preparations. And then when they die, they go to the funeral homes, and then their bodies are prepared to be visited. That we come and pay our respects and have a memorial that the bodies have been prepared. But you know what? The point that I'm going to make is it's sad that so many people take time to do this and try to make preparations that when they die that they'll have these things taken care of. But how many of them have not made preparation like this rich man about this fool? It's what Jesus said, that he was a fool. And it's sad that there are so many dying today that haven't made preparation, that they haven't made things right with God. I want to go over here and it's talking about love. 1 John 2:15. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And over in Mark 12:13, I believe it is, 12:30, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. If you would love the God with all your heart, and with all your strength, and believe in him with all your soul, that you make that preparation you need to make, that one day after a while, that you know that heaven is going to be your home. You see, that's the most important thing of all the aspects that we deal with in life and preparing for our futures. Going to school and getting educated and going to college and getting a higher education. And even those that are even going after their master's or their doctorate, whatever it is, that's important in our lives. Okay, we have to make those preparations, but the number one and the most important thing that we can ever do in our lives, and every one of us, most of us, I can look about and see each one of us, we have done this by your testimonies and by what you've told me and the things that I have heard. You have made preparation that you know that when you die that heaven is going to be your home. But of all the things that we do in our lives, being prepared to meet God is the number one thing. You have to forsake everything else. Father, mother, brother and sister, grandparents. He ain't telling you that you have to quit loving them. But you've got to make God number one. You got to make God first in your life. Prepare to make God to be first in your life, that you might be able to know him in a personal experience, that you might be able to know him through salvation, by being born again, by being saved by his grace. Because of his mercy that he has on us. I hope that those that continue to come into this church, those that haven't made that preparation, those that are not prepared to meet God yet, that they continue to have that desire to come through these doors. Brother Hendricks, I don't know if your friend has been saved or not, but he says he will come and come to church with you. I hope that he has that desire when he gets well enough that he can come and come into our services and hear the word of God. And if he's not saved, that he will make things right with God because of the things that he has heard here. Because I believe that he's going to hear the truth. I believe he's going to hear the right things because I believe this church teaches. I believe Brother Miller preaches the things that are right. And I pray that these that are coming in and out of the doors of this church, that eventually that they will make preparation. And I wish and I hope that God will get a hold of them in such a way that they'd realize that they need to be prepared. My heart was broken this morning when I saw Rachel walk through the doors. Maybe some of y'all have heard a testimony from her. I've never heard it yet. I don't know that she's told anybody yet that she's ever been saved. We've seen her grow up here in this church, and her own grandfather pastored this church for so many years, and she sat under his preaching. And then we saw her become in junior high. And then we saw her go through high school. And we've seen her go through college. And now she's going in a higher learning where she's going after, I guess, her doctorate degree to be a dentist. How much longer is God going to be merciful to her? Because, you know, we don't have that promise of tomorrow. I hope she makes preparation. And not just her, but all the others that come in and out of the doors of this church. There are older ones. There's elderly that come in that have never given testimony of salvation. There are those in their young adult years, they have never give it testimony of salvation. And then we have those that are maybe just now have reached that age of accountability. Something every one of them's got in common that they need to do. Every one of them need to be prepared. No matter what age they are, they need to be prepared to meet God. And that they won't be as this man that Jesus talked about. That they won't be a fool. But they will know the love of God. Thank you for listening. May God bless you. Seemed like it maybe they've been a little scattered, but it's so important to be prepared. So important. Brother Miller, you want me to close the service? Are you coming up or?